Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Like that.
There you go. Yep. Test, test, test. We're good on audio. Everyone sounds great. This is great. Okay, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
I just had the weirdest dream. Back on the bus there? Do you ever have those dreams that are just completely real? I mean, they're so vivid. It's just like completely real. It's like there's always something bizarre going on in those. I have one about every 2 years or something. I always remember them really good. It's like there's always someone getting run over or something really weird. One time I had lunch with Tolstoy. Another time I was a roadie for Frank Zappa. Anyway, so this dream I just had, it was just like that, except instead of anything bizarre going on, I mean, there was nothing going on at all.
I'm a medical doctor.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, and this is episode 626. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm here with Brian. He liked to hit old ladies in his car, and then drive back around the block, and then come home like nothing happened, done away.
Have you been watching me all week? Oh, hi. This week on Film Slacker, hey, man. I just had the weirdest dream in the bed back there. Have you ever had one of those dreams that was completely fabricated from your memories of the 1990s and then streamed on HBO Max, where you're walking around town following the local anarchists / rebels / conspiracy theorists / your mom's new boyfriend sucks / get a job, you darn hippie / dude, do you ever shut up types? I mean, those kind of dreams are so vivid. It's just completely real. It's like a choosy on your favorite social media platform. The nightmare is real. Anywho. I know what I got to show you guys. Man, this will blow your gourd. I have this friend. She's a butthole doctor in Texas, all right? One of those colonologists / surfers who hangs 10 with a camera right up your chocolate starfish to see if she can find your head when it gets stuck so far up your own ass that you can't shut up talking about it. So she sent me this through the mail, like some mislabeled Cologuard sample that came to my front door. Hey, this isn't my Amazon order. Right. So, do you guys want to buy Madonna's? So, do you guys want to buy Madonna's butt smear or what? Randy? Pencil game or slap fight? Why not both? Damn it, Texas, everything doesn't always have to be bigger.
That's to the truth. Oh, my Lord. You're making me hate this movie just hearing you say that. nicely done. Also with us today, Randy, everyone in this movie looks like they helped found id Software Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Randy.
Have you ever woken up from a dream where you're falling from a height? How could your brain know exactly what that feels like if you've never fallen like that before in real life? We're all just living in a simulation. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, oranges are orange, so we should call limes greens. Because when you need to clean off the bar of soap, you don't use other soap. You just use water. You don't clean soap with other soap. And you can't fix a dude with problems by rubbing him with another dude. You have to wash him off. Why doesn't anyone ever build a restaurant between IHOP and Waffle House and serve waff cakes? I bet they would be delicious. There's no no reason for the alphabet to be in any particular order, man. We impose order upon the alphabet, and then we teach the next generation that they have to adhere to the order, and they just believe it because little humans are wired to believe what we tell them. So LMNOP, am I right? Okay, I gotta move on. Be real, man.
Be real. I think it says something that even when you're making a parody of the inane monologues from this movie, it sounds like right. It could have easily just come from this movie.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
I'd like to believe that we can do it better.
Yeah, maybe we can. Well, let's find out when we talk to Brian. This movie could have been a genius short film, Ibbot.
Yeah, I really, really wanted to do Billy Joel's Pressure with Slacker. You know, that's the thing I had kind of in mind at the beginning. Yeah. But another song really came to light, and it's one of the greatest songs in pop history that's about both infidelity and gaslighting.
Oh, my Lord. All right.
All right. Randy came in and he made us watch Slacker, recorded for the Film Sack Show. Picture this, it's a film about Austin, said that we should give it a go. How could I predict that it would be so hard to stay awake? How long did this experimental movie take that guy to make?
Maybe it's because you stayed up too late last night. Maybe you were awakened by the sound of a cat fight. Could have been that I forgot to shut off the light. There's a lot of reasons that my eyes were shut tight. Worked really hard throughout the whole day. Sitting for a movie on the couch you lay. You could explain your exhaustion away. I'll tell you what during the podcast you should say.
Conspiracy guy with the coffee.
I was asleep.
Dude with the backpack TV.
I was asleep.
Typewriter that you got her.
I was asleep.
Madonna's pubic hair and water.
I was asleep.
Got his change for the paper.
I was asleep.
Maybe meet for a movie later.
I was asleep.
Pixavision camera.
I was asleep.
Hit and run with the grandma.
I was asleep.
You know, I'm hesitant to say this. I think this, you now have a new challenge to beat that one. That was the best.
Is that the,
by that the far, bar? By far, it was the best choice of song, the best use of like the rap bit.
Yeah.
I don't know how you top that, dude.
Well, I get to use my Shaggy impersonation too, which is really just pushing your tongue kind of towards the front of your mouth as much as you can while you're not here, bud.
Yeah.
How interesting, though, would it have been if you could have found a Madonna song that had been covered by the guitarist Pat Smear?
Oh, yeah, Pat Smear. Oh, good old Pat Smear.
Good old Pat Smear.
Here's the thing. Now, I'm going to play the Fletcher intro. I need, excuse me, fake Fletcher, and I need to preface this. Oh, no. I decided to set this thing to maximum, I forget the setting they call it, but basically it's sort of like, let it kind of just go all over the place.
Okay.
This may have been a horrible mistake, and I'm warning you guys now, but I'm playing it anyway. So enjoy this fake Fletcher moment as it describes the film Slacker.
Slacker, a day in the life of Austin, Texas, as the camera roams from place to place and provides a brief look at the overeducated, the social misfits, the outcasts, and the oddballs. No one in this went on to do anything else ever, except the director, of course. It's mostly weird and sometimes compelling. I should know. I'm a medical doctor.
Wow.
So it did that, and should I redo it? And then I went, no.
I think that I think it's appropriate.
Nailed it.
It feels like everything here was the first take. So I think you should use the first take.
That's a good point. That's right. No editing today. Even if we screw something up today, somebody could say some horrible joke and regret it or whatever. I'm not editing it because we're going to stay with the theme of the film and shoot once.
Theme of the film. Take the first take.
That's
the first take.
This is Richard Linklater's first real feature film called Slacker. Came out in, depends on who you trust. 89 said where I watched it.
We've talked a little bit about it. It's an independent film released at some film festivals. And then got a little wider release. Not much, a little bit.
Yeah. Like the date I'm going to care about is that it was filmed in August and September of 1989.
Yeah.
All of its like growth to prominence and later like it won an Independent Spirit Award or something, or it was nominated. That's like it happened so far after the movie was made, right?
Yeah.
But it was made in the late summer of 1989.
It was obviously enough to propel things for him, because he pretty quickly rolled right into filming Dazed and Confused, which I think is an amazing film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think this one is interesting in its experimentation. I think the fact that Kevin Smith's gone on record to say this is 100% inspiration point for him even doing Clerks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A few very other obvious filmmakers have said the same, like this had a huge impact on people, but maybe I'm wrong about this, and I alluded to it in the intro. It just feels like this is really interesting at about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You go longer than that.
Long. Yeah. I give it
20, 15.
When he gets in the as soon as he gets in the taxi cab, about 5 minutes later, I'm out.
Yeah. I could have used, it would have been great. And I'm not saying like strip out any of the individual people, but maybe make their whole diatribes shorter. And I don't know. I think I would take out some of the people.
This is my main problem with it, is the diatribes, like you're saying. The problem is, it's all a single voice. It doesn't seem like it's coming from the individuals. We have a bunch of different actors that were picked up around, town, and it's an amazing feat of what he did here, and it's amazing filmmaking. However, it's just not very interesting, especially to people in our time, in my opinion.
Which is why I think you almost need this movie to happen right before like Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction, because you wouldn't maybe know that it was a real genius move that Tarantino was able to put different voices in different people's faces,
we are on the same page. That was the exact same thought I thought too. I was like, wow, this is like Pulp Fiction, but Pulp Fiction took
time. Right. I was thinking Pulp Fiction too, watching this, because you've got that same kind of thing. Like, all right, these people are connected to this person only because they were in the same place at the same time. And when the pancake shop gets robbed, these people are already here. And this person's only connected to this guy because he showed up to, get his keys or something. I need to watch Pulp Fiction again, but
right. But
I mean, along the same lines, they're loosely connected only by proximity and not necessarily by overlapping storylines.
It could have been arranged like this movie too. And I'm glad it wasn't.
Oh God.
That's one of the joys of Pulp Fiction, and like, I'm not a huge Tarantino fan, but like, it's impressive. A lot of the little bits, and especially that it was like his second movie. And here you've got the first movie. And so I feel like we're supposed to give him a lot of credit, right? Like you're supposed to give a pretty young actor, like we see him in the back of the cab and we hear him all through the beginning of the movie. And you're like, oh, wow, that's the guy making the movie. Okay. Like, I feel like you're supposed to give him some credit because it's a first outing and he does a reasonably good job.
It's a very clever concept. Like the thought, all right, let's look at the day to day or the day life of all these people as you are yourself, kind of like a person walking around Austin, eavesdropping on all these people or seeing these kids peeping Tom or breaking into the pot machine, kicking it and stuff like that. Right, like you are a person on the street in Austin along with these people. But I'd say don't begin your movie with a hit and run and then not live up to that level of interest and excitement throughout the whole, throughout much of the rest.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of felt like if a natural stopping point would have been the restaurant, because I was kind of intel then with the weird lady and the whole medical doctor crap she kept saying.
Oh, yeah, you should stop. You should stop.
Because at least it was weird and different. And and also the lady right before that guy passed, the old lady on the road, she says the next person to pass us will die in a fortnight or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
then he walks by and I went, all right, well, they're going to make some reference to him almost getting hit by a car, which they did. If you want to end your movie, you have screen go blank kind of Tony Soprano style and have the sound of a car hitting something and then music runs. Like that's your movie. You're done.
That's pretty good. Actually, I like that.
Yeah.
And one of my main problems with the film is the, maybe the subject matter. The filmmaking's fine. The idea of doing this is fine. I don't really particularly find anybody likable.
Oh, hell no.
Subject of right. Slacker, because I mean, it's these people are supposed to be, we're trying to talk about Slacker kind of in a positive, we're supposed to kind of take it in a positive, like, oh, there's a positive, you know, there's a positive to being an anarchist. There's a positive to being a hippie.
Is it? Because I just got positive. That they were insufferable and annoying. I never got
that's
that
what
you were positive.
Picking up because they were not. It's like, I don't want to be here. I felt uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to listen because they were all single-sided conversations. One person talking while other person is just trying not to be there. I would I prefer to
exactly
hear what
trying
people
to get out of this conversation. Like, like the two people at the beginning, relatively beginning, the guy, the conspiracy guy carrying the big glass that I can't tell if it's a coffee or a Bloody Mary.
He's totally stole it from the place, though. You can't do that. Go ahead. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But the and he's like, "Oh, can I walk with you?" And they're like, "No, we're in a hurry." And it's like, I felt like I wanted to be those people throughout the whole film and say, like, "Sorry, no, I've been." Hurry.
Yeah.
I feel like I was a hostage this whole film, and that was a bad feeling. And I'm like,
So the big takeaway for me, almost 100% of my takeaway from this movie is that every generation wants to think they're the hip ones.
Yeah.
And when they're at a certain age, you're young, your late teens, your early 20s, you think you know everything, and then you've got a little bit of knowledge because you're starting to go to college and it's starting to permeate your life. And so you're starting to talk in these philosophical ways, and it's everything from just being drunk and talking about the Smurfs to, you know, big government things or conspiracies about JFK or whatever. And that, you know, this is a generation that is just slightly ahead of at least me and Brian's. These, you know, these guys would have been, see, 89, we were 19, 20. These guys would have been that, you know, or a little older than that. Most of these actors in their 60s now. Actors, sorry, I shouldn't use that.
How dare you, Time? How dare you?
How dare I call them actors? But anyway, the point is, everyone does it. Gen Z does this with some shitty little art movie now. Somebody did it when they were millennials. Prior to this, it was a bunch of beatniks and hipsters in the '50s. Like this just was another one of those, and it kind of at the same time I went, oh right, we all think we're this until we're not. And then but then I also went, this is insufferable. These people annoy the shit out of me.
And
I love the end.
That's supposed to be entertaining, I think. Like this is, so you got to understand, like this is entirely couched in actual intellectualism. It's just, it's just not shown. So these people are all up and down the drag in Austin, and they're surrounded by this massive institution of learning. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was actually a little annoyed that the film made Austin look like a paved wasteland actually, like, it's this beautiful city that's just covered in trees. I'm like, where are the trees? Maybe in 89, they didn't have trees yet, but I just like, I started over as the film was going on, you know, I start out hating it like everybody. And then I find myself trying to find things to like, and I realized every single person you're ever going to hear speak in this movie is someone who got a little learning and then took off on the wrong path. They ended up
interesting. In the film, they talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah. They ended up getting focused on something that's wrong or misinformation or whatever.
Right.
And that's like all their brain can do now. And like, that's kind of interesting because if you just put one like genuinely smart person in all of this, I don't know if it would work. Like I'm kind of like,
the name Slacker comes from what? I don't, that part I had a hard time finding information on. Does anyone know what meant?
We were calling. So our generation, Gen X, we got labeled as slackers because when the previous generation looked at us, they said, oh, they don't want to work. And we were kind of that unmotivated, anarchist. We're like,
it's every generation, right? Like,
right. Every generation goes through this, and you know, and yeah, that was our generation's, you know, hippie anarchist,
right?
Whatever you want to call it, is you know, it's, we're trying to change the world, but we did it through music, and I was kind of bummed that we didn't approach that because our generation is marked by a rebellion through music.
Well, I didn't, so like, were the 60s, so were the set. I mean, it's always
touched on a bit in the movie. Like they end up at the Continental Club near the end of this thing, and I'm like, thank you, finally we get like the side of Austin that makes sense to me in this context.
Well, which is such a huge music town, and
to Dunaway's credit, like Austin is so known for their music scene. It's like, why didn't you lean into that more? They had the one guy who was on his way to a band thing and then talked to Tiffany for too long and then
Exactly. They even had the moment where they could have introduced all that stuff. I think I was disappointed in that because I felt like they didn't get a chance to explore it. But this is a big plate for a young director.
Yes.
To try to build. It's a big plate.
And I think he has this germ of an idea that I really like. And I can't help like wanting it fixed somehow. There's this recurring theme in this movie where people are going to go do something and then they don't. And it's like they're going to go to a movie and then they don't. And then they're going to go
out of the mood of the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like even when they actually get to a couple of women who are going to get into a club, they do the whole transfer of the wrist stamp thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, which I think, by the way, I mean, should we touch on that? That's got to be the thing that grossed Scott out the most is licking the wrist to transfer the stamp.
Oh, 100%. It was that and the concept of Madonna's pap smear, but yes.
Yes. Yeah. Our butthole surfer tried to make a Madonna pap smear sale right there on the street
She was gross. Also, I didn't know until I finished the movie and then was looking around that she was the drummer for the Butthole Surfers. That's cool.
Yeah. The guy who has change, who I love the credits, by the way, like the names of the people, Disturbed Yacht Owner is the Has Changed, the guy who liked 2-for-1 special, that guy is the lead singer or was one of the founders of the band Poi Dog Pondering, which I remember hearing in the 90s and being like, oh, what a great band, and then they just kind of disappeared. But I don't know if they were just a local Austin thing, Randy. Were they around when you lived there?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I'll tell you the more prominent one when I lived in Austin that's connected to this movie was the guy who does the rant in the Continental Club is Wham-O, the lead singer of Asylum Street Spankers. Which is not, I realize it's not really a band with a lead singer per se. It's always this big conglomerate, this thing.
Yeah.
But Asylum we Street Spankers.
Them on TMS. Yeah.
Yeah. They are like they're like an institution when I live in Austin. And I thought it was really funny that he's just like, he seems kind of like a normal guy of this movie and not like some weirdo singer.
Yeah.
So wait, which guy was he? Was he the conspiracy guy?
Oh, there were so many conspiracy guys.
Exactly. Narrow it down.
Not the he wasn't the main conspiracy guy who started with walking down the street with the glass, right?
Not him.
There was there was the guy, you know, sitting on the chair next to the two dudes having a comb fight, and then there's the conspiracy theorist.
It wasn't a comb. I'm correct.
I thought there were combs.
It was absolutely a comb. Because if you lose, you get scraped with it.
I know what a comb fight is, but I'm saying it didn't like a comb, like a pencil. And
it looked to me like a comb. Looked fatter, flatter and fatter than a pencil.
Are we all old enough to have carried a comb in our pocket?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
Grandpa.
I totally did.
I shaved my head so I wouldn't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. That's a good idea. No, I had a comb back there. It would break all the time. It was a shit show for me. I never had a good time with a comb.
Sit down, because you have to get one of those really thick, brightly colored plastic ones.
All right, no curly heads are grouped in. I don't even know what your hair used to look like, Ibbot.
I'll send you a photo.
I had curly. I felt like my hair was a lot like Ibbot's hair. It was very curly down, especially in the rear department.
Or wavy.
Wavy, I guess a better way to put it. It wasn't tight little ringlets or anything. But
wavy gravy.
But I'd carry that thing around mostly because I thought you were just supposed to. I hardly ever used it. It just sat there.
Yeah.
You know, sat in my pocket. And broke.
Well, you had to have it because you'd have to go to the bathroom. You'd have to splash some water on it and then tap it on the sink to drap, you know, to get off the extra and then brush your hair.
Yeah.
Right. Comb your hair. Excuse me. I said brush.
Brush, comb, whatever. Look, man.
No, it's a big difference. There's a brush and there's a comb. Yeah. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
I actually thought about, I expected this out of this episode. And I actually thought about what if we tried to do the whole episode and never talk about the movie, but just talk about little stuff,
little shits
that comes up, little interesting little things, because that's really where I want to know this movie. I want to like You know, like there's just all these little tiny things. A guy with a TV on his back. Why? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I'm interested in understanding.
All I thought I about attacked. Was I just thought about Dunaway and his all the CRTs.
I felt attacked during that part very much.
So. As you should.
I was like, hey, hey, hey.
Yeah.
Watch it.
One of the interesting things about the movie is your average movie, let's take, I don't know, The Matrix or something, 500 to 1,000 cuts in it, right? That's normal. Yeah. Lots of cuts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This only has 163.
Yeah, we're just handing off cameras, right?
Basically. Almost a third of them come from the last 5 minutes, by the way, when they do that Super 8 film scene.
Yes, right.
That's great.
And there's no reason, really, that this film couldn't have been, it would have been an achievement for sure, but one long take. And that would have been amazing. Yeah. Although I guess it has to be an overnight thing, so then it would be like a... You know, you would have just seen an hour and a half in the life of Austin as opposed to 24 hours.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a little 24 hours, right? Because we start out with him on the bus arriving, and then the next morning we had the old guy walking, which I like because it's like we do have a re-exploration as you get older when you're no longer working. It's amazing what bullshit you can think of when you're not working, actively employed, right?
Did it bother you guys that there was no connective tissue at all in the end? Like I kind of thought we'd come back around to Linklater leaving town again, taking that lady's because he stole that lady's purse, by the way.
I thought it was bookend.
He totally did.
Yeah,
I felt like, you know, the old guy was representational of where the character that we introduced in the beginning ends up. So I think it told the whole story to me.
You know what? That's true. That old guy is an old guy version of these hipster bastard kids.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how he.
There's a couple of different old guys in this movie who are that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The anarchist guy who befriends the robber.
I actually feel like it ending at sunrise on Mount Bunnell. That's everybody who was in their 20s and lived in Austin and did that at least once. You go to clubs all night and then everybody goes up to Mount Bunnell to see sunrise. Like, I felt like that was like a perfect ending because the point of the movie is to not have a point. And so, like, I didn't want a tidy, like, wrap up or return to something, you know?
Yeah.
Bookend with Linklater. Well, because, I mean, during his dream, and you played it, I'd forgotten it until you played it at the top of the show, but he talks about, doesn't he talk about a woman getting hit by a car or something like, a dream about a woman getting hit by a car?
Yeah, he said it in our intro thing, I think. Yeah. And I didn't notice it until.
I actually wrote it down. I wonder if this guy is telling us what's about to happen in the rest of the movie.
Well, let's hear some of this again just to kind of get to see if we can glean something from it. Hold on.
I just had the weirdest dream back on the bus there. Do you ever have those dreams that are just completely real? I mean, they're so vivid. It's just like completely real. It's like there's always something bizarre going on in those. I have one about every 2 years or something. I always remember them really good. It's like there's always someone getting run over.
I think that's the reference.
I think the whole idea was he's setting up from the very beginning. And this is just a theory. Who the hell freaking knows what he was thinking? Yeah. But he's created a new reality because that's what he's talking about there. He's just by thinking about it, he's created this new reality and he's walking into this reality and we're watching it and everything that's happened. So he is omniscient. He knows what's going on.
I guess so. I kind of thought we'd loop back to him or someone. I really wanted to see the story through of the weird son who ran over his mom and put that video on loop.
But that's not how dreams end, Scott.
Did I?
Yeah, you like it, and it's so straight. Like the cops just show up and they kind of calmly take him. Like I thought that was I don't know. There's something about it that really stuck with me.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like this really strong, weird and beginning, and then forget that guy. We're moving on.
And we were already seeing. Well, we were seeing what could happen because he was there. They were telling us in sort of ways that he was in the military. He had been ruled by structure, by his overbearing mom, military. And so his only way out of modern and polite society was what he did. This is what you get. This is the ramifications of it.
Hmm. And so the whole movie is about people's observations of assassins, which is just wild because you would never go into this movie. Like it's slackers. It's all filmed in one take. And like, it's about how people think of assassinations all the time.
And and all of those people are considered anarchist. And it was kind of playing in and out of that. So it's a really brilliant, deep thought movie that annoys the hell out of you by sticking his head so far up his ass that you just want to get out. It's like, I don't know
if it's that brilliant though. Like, cause it doesn't want to be brilliant. Right. Like you have there's this really memorable scene where some guy comes across some woman and she's got a deck of cards. I'm forgetting the name of the deck of cards, but
what was it? It was like the theory exposition or some weird,
Yeah. Oh, that girl. And, yeah, that girl made me want
to. And then there's an art installation coming together next to her about ovarian cycles. And like, it's like this whole thing, it's really like, it's memorable because it's not got a point. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh, that's fun and weird. And it's
influential for a reason. Like, it had an impact on other filmmakers for a reason. It's just that I think that if you gave Linklater the keys to make a new one, to redo this and just rethink it, reinvent it, and do it for a new generation.
Yeah,
I think it would be a lot better.
I was thinking about
somebody did in 2011. They tried to do a shot for shot remake of the film with some of the same actors, but a lot of new actors. But they updated it so cell phones are more prominent. You've got Alex Jones, like the guy in the room. So the two guys, instead of playing comb fight, they're playing Wii. And hitting each other, and the guy who's doing all the talking during that point is
Alex Jones.
Crediting Alex Jones.
because he's an Austin guy, right?
Who
he's
is
an
our
Austin
modern,
native.
What is this generation slackers? Is there something?
An equivalent millennials?
No, millennials.
Too big a group.
You talking about Gen Z? Like kids are my kids' age, like Nick's age, probably. Yeah. Man, they may not.
Yeah,
have
is there
that.
A term that they have for the? I love the way you describe it though. Just enough education to be dangerous.
Yeah, let's make a Gen Z movie just like this, and we're gonna call it Cringe.
Cringe. There you go.
Because Gen Z had multiples of these. We had Breakfast Club. We had movies that define a generation anyway, where the discussion about who we are and what we. You know what our generation is. We had that. We had Dazed and Confused was for the people in the 70s, but it felt like for us anyway. Still does. What was the? I can't think of the other one. But like Mean Girls is a millennial deal, right? Like the millennials really cue in on that. The 90s kids and stuff. Clueless maybe. But I don't know what the Z's is. They just are. They're inundated
Who's rebelling against the machine right now? I'm like, it's kind of a little bit, but it's become such a large movement.
They're too busy trying to pay rent.
Political discussions here, but like the cancel culture, where people are like demanding that we, you know, that the status quo changes. You know what I mean? So. Is that?
I don't know if it's cancel culture. Weird. I wouldn't, because I'd give that to everyone. Seems to enjoy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even slackers. There was even when it was in the movie, it was saying that there's more than just Gen X in this slacker group.
But they had things like, hey, we should change the money and get the Mason crap off there. Whoever mentioned that, I forget who that was.
Right.
So there's always going to be that. I think we're probably grasping at straws a little bit because. Gen Z is so busy trying to pay their rent that
maybe that's it. They can't. Yeah. They can't afford to be.
They don't have time.
Rebellious.
They don't have time to sit around and talk about this shit.
Wildest thing about this movie that every character you can assign some sort of success to, like a baseline of success. Like they're able to make rent even though they're living with three other people in a small house or whatever, and all these things that you can't really fix onto modern. Understanding it just doesn't work.
Where's their comedies at anyway? That's sitcom fodder. Having to live with people you don't want to be.
Right,
with.
It should be right. Like if it was Friends, everybody would be in the same apartment.
Right. Yeah,
all six of them. Freeze company. What's going on with this? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, there's a bit of that. Is there any? It's okay. So we've talked about. We'll talk in a minute about the character that irritated us the most because I think this movie deserves that.
Oh gosh!
But do you guys have one that didn't annoy you? Because for me, it was the poor girl that had to listen to Conspiracy Boy in the library. She was fine.
Oh gosh, yeah, she was fine. Who just wanted to get out of that? Like, oh man, I walked down the wrong aisle in this bookstore.
Yeah, prior to that, her boyfriend sucked. Like that guy she called. Everyone thinks you're an asshole or whatever she said about.
Yeah.
Oh, is he the one, the bathrobe dude?
Different dude. He was the one. He was walking down the street with her, and then.
Oh, all right. He's the one who. Right, that's right. The one. We'll still do the movie. No, I'm not really into it now. I'd like to get away from you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. I need some quiet time or whatever she said. Right, and then she ended up being with the most serial ass killer bastard weirdo I've ever. So for me, it's easily that kid, the JFK obsessive.
Yes, conspiracy of go-go dude.
Yeah,
that's your most annoying. Least annoying has got to. Yeah, my least annoying is CRT man because you know.
Oh, weird.
You connected. Oh,
really?
I think you could call him least annoying because you have to make an appointment and go see that guy. He's never going to intrude on you. He's always in that room.
Yeah. He's just trying. He's got something cool to show you. That's it. Yeah. That's all he wants from you. Hey, I got some cool stuff for you. Hey, if you see some TVs out there, let me know. That's it.
Yeah. He is like, he is like TikTok 30 years too soon.
yeah, he's internet too soon is what he
is. I think least annoying, my the guy I sympathize with is the I can't get a paper out of this damn machine dude, that would happen to me. Dang it, he's put the money in. I tried to do the right thing and not take the free newspaper. Yeah,
he's the normie, right?
He's the normie, and he just wants to go in that coffee shop and he gets yelled at by, you should stop, you're traumatizing women with your sexual energy or
intercourse.
Coffee shop / insane asylum.
Yeah, what the hell was going on in there? The first thing that happens. Louis Black. Quit
Louis
following
Black,
me.
By the way, another like prominent dude is
quit following me.
That was Louis Black.
That was Louis Black.
Different Louis Black.
The comedian Louis Black. Okay,
correct. Oh yeah, this is the guy in Austin who started. Oh, he founded the Austin Chronicle. The tabloid newspaper.
Yeah, not the Austin American Statesman, but the gotcha. I saw it afterwards. I'm like, oh, that was Louis Black? All right, cool. And then just assumed it was the Louis Black.
I didn't know that.
I don't have time to look that up. I'm a slacker.
Since you've already named Conspiracy a go-go dude in the bookstore as the most annoying, I'm going to pick, because he would be my pick as well, I'm going to pick one of the other conspiracy guys, and I've mentioned him before, but he's the guy who, you're walking along, he can't read the room and say, oh, these people don't want to be bothered by me, but I'm just going to walk along because they're kind of a captive audience and tell them, my story.
Yeah. And then when the other guy, his victim, mm-hmm. is like, I'm going into this house now. Yes. Like, it felt like he just picked a random house. I'm going into this house now. Bye. Yeah. The dude just stands there and waits for someone else
Even says, I'm gonna stick around here for a little while and make sure we weren't followed. It's like, oh great. So now I have to hide out in this house until I see you latch onto another victim.
I hated that guy. I love hating him.
Yeah, but who was your favorite?
Oh, favorite was the newspaper guy.
The guy who didn't
have enough change and then gets berated by the lady when he says, do you have any change? He's like, get a job, dude.
Okay, so I feel like I have a very different take on this, but it's just the way that this film hit me. So as I said, I really liked the lady standing on the street with the deck of cards. Those cards are called
Oblique Strategies.
Yeah. It's a Brian Eno thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, which blew my mind when I saw that in the trivia. It's like, oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
Just because like that was Austin to me. Austin was walking from your house all the way down to the drag. So you're going to walk like 17 blocks on a Sunday morning and you're going to pass by every kind of person. And there would be someone that you just stop and chat with a little bit. Hey, how are you? Yeah. And hey, I've got this deck of cards, Oblique Strategies. Want to pull one? Yeah, sure. You pull it out. It says, honor thy error as a hidden intention. Okay, cool. That's nice. What's your friend doing here? I like her. She's a good person. And then on the other hand, hated the old man so much. The old man who
the old anarchist.
He comes in and disarms a guy who's trying to rob him of a TV and he doesn't have a TV. I hate that. I've met that guy.
I've met both these guys.
Man. And that guy, this particular one worships Leon Czolgosz and Charles Whitman. Are you kidding me? Yeah. His heroes are absolutely the worst people that ever lived.
And he's a hypocrite too, right? It's like you can just feel it. He's the kind of guy that will say all this shit, but then behind your,
it's like the daughter said, right? She piped in and said, he made all that shit up about France or wherever it was.
If anyone ever says to you their hero is Charles Whitman, that is a person you should get far away from. Right.
Maybe it's my 2023 eyes, but it looked like that old guy was trying to groom the would-be robber.
A little bit, the would-be robber. Yeah, totally.
That's exactly how it felt.
Get his guard down. There's
a moment in the movie, I don't know if it's with this old guy, but there's a moment where our camera shot really gives you this huge van that says Ron Paul for president.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. He was running then that year.
And it's like, Wow.
I guess he ran in 88.
This was a very particular time. Now, my favorite character to watch, I don't like or dislike him, but just found the most engaging, was your mom's new boyfriend guy who like was just gotten to a ride. He's like, oh, I need a ride to town.
The hitchhiker who hated his stepdad.
Oh, that guy. Gosh, dang, dude. I hated him, but I liked him. I know what you're saying.
I like watching him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Like, he's something fun to watch.
A little bit like Australian Red Right Hand did the music for Peaky Blinders. Gosh, why can't I remember his name?
Nick Cave.
Nick Cave.
There you go.
Yep. Remind me a lot of Nick Cave for some reason.
I liked the guys who were working on the cars. I feel like they're understandable, normal dudes. Yeah. But I couldn't stand how both they and the hitchhiker were walking all over that GTO. Stop walking all over the GTO.
It's not really cool. Not cool, man. Yeah. Don't be doing that to that car.
I felt like that car deserved so much more respect than it was getting.
Yes.
Absolutely. I guess hats off to him for not giving the nerd, the JFK conspiracy nerd, too much shit when he walked by their car, because that was the transition there. Mm-hmm. And I thought they were just going to lay into him because he is so freaking annoying. It's like, what'd you find out? Well, I got some really great new Jack Ruby stuff I'm working on.
Right.
Like,
I found I almost have the entire collection of these magazines. Just need the Jackie O article, you know, with the great interviews.
That kid made me want to die. Like, he should be. Like, I was thinking, and I said this in our chat, but if anyone is imprisoned for something, it's him. I don't know why.
Right. That and the old anarchists, both of them are like in prison together.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly.
They share a room. One of them keeps a bird. Yeah. It's very Shawshank. But it that oh man that kid that just that's why I put that video.
You were hoping that he would be involved in the next hit and run, that guy somehow escaped the police, decided he was going to hit somebody else with his car. It was going to be the conspiracy of go-go guy.
Yeah, I really did. I kind of hoped we'd get closure, that kind of closure on him, but we didn't.
The cars in this movie make me laugh because he didn't just assassinate his mom. He hit her with a 59 Brookwood. It's so clear. Like, you would recognize that car. It's like at that time, right? What is it? 30 years old. Anyone would recognize that car if they had even seen a little bit of it, you know?
Well, like, I mean, they got to him pretty quick. They arrested him pretty fast. Yeah. They probably did get him, I guess.
Because he hit out half a block away.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He went to his own house and, you know, that was what was weird. What was he doing? Was he a future serial killer? Did we stop that early? No, we're not talking about that. We're going to move on to this guy trying to get a ride to the, you know, like what this movie. That's the point of the movie, right? The point
And so he had some, I found him really interesting, but I didn't get a chance to really think about him that much, but you could tell he has a lot of order. He's got like the short, tight haircut. He's going through very specific things in the room. He's going step by step. He has all these ritualized things he's doing. It's like he's broke from reality. I didn't get a chance to explore if there was anything interesting there or not, but I thought it was one of the more interesting things.
Yeah.
It's a
different movie, like you said.
I love Catholic prayer candles with the print on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love those so much, and
I was worried about his hands though with that match. Woo, that was some big fire.
It was some big fire. Oh yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
Biggest of fire. Dude,
did not care about burning himself.
Yeah. No. Why? So I was really curious. Like, all right, why are you cutting pictures out of the yearbook and putting those in the candles to burn them up? Like, what specifically about those pictures and his little diorama for watching projector films? And
like I said, I think what was being said there was, I guess, your interpretation is art, but I felt like he was, you know, he was rebelling. He was broken. He had gotten so deep into the machine that he was just broken and he couldn't deal with anything. And so he had ritualized everything.
I guess
he ritualized his rebellion, I guess.
They really left it to our imagination. Like,
yeah, which is good. That's what you want.
I think that is good. In the end, the strength of the movie, if they're, you know, I think it's overlong and it has problems, but the strength of the movie is its non sequiturness. Yeah. It's kind of this like, oh, all right, well, there's a little brief look at somebody. Okay. Now let's go have a brief look at somebody else. And why is that interesting? And I don't know that there's something to that for sure. And like you said, Tarantino and others maybe do it better, but even Linklater does it better. He does it better in the very next film. He does it in really, really brilliant ways. Yes. And, you know, I guess maybe he finally got the movie he wanted to make.
That's right. Because this one was super cheap to he made this way on the cheap, right? No real actors. What did he like 20,000? How much was it? 200,000?
It was very low.
23 grand.
23 grand. 23 yeah.
grand.
That's why you see none of these people went on to do much else. Like some, but
no.
Like
well, he just picked them off the streets. They were not most of them were not aspiring to do anything. He just recruited them off the street, right? It was guerrilla filmmaking just.
Yeah. So, yeah, this Jean Caffeine, who is the mom laying on the street.
Yeah, her was credited as Roadkill.
Yeah, Roadkill road lady. She's got this amazing IMDb photo, which is just literally her on the ground and Linklater walking away with her purse. That's the...
Love it.
That's yeah. And I feel like that's indicative of pretty much everybody else in the movie. Nobody went on to do anything. You know, you'd be surprised to find them somewhere. Maybe this Jerry Delanon guy. Let's see. He did... Oh, geez. Well, he did a movie called Count All Come.
Oh, my. He went to a totally different direction.
He did some things. Sex Freaks, Nazi sex experiments.
Was he in the little strangle porn film in the TV backpack guy's
house? No, he's the Batman t-shirt older guy.
Right. No, but I'm saying, did he do a double role and get to be in that one as well?
Oh, right.
Like a porn star.
our weird nudity of the film.
Yeah. Oh, that was weird. Out of nowhere and very explicit. It's one thing to just say, oh, I saw half a boob. This movie was like, hey, no nudity through the whole movie, except right here, which is fully porn. Here you go.
Right. Some porn for you.
Yeah, but that guy's I guess he's a porn. He looks porny, doesn't he?
He looks porny. He does look porny.
Yeah, in the worst way.
The question is, did the movie make him porny, or was he already porny?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I feel like you see the still that Scott put in the frame. He looks porny already.
Yeah,
he was, that's right. He's just going to stand out your house and outside your house and make sure we haven't been followed.
Yeah, he was so weird.
Do not stand outside my house.
The bar scene where they're shooting with that Fisher-Price Pixel Vision thing.
That was awesome.
My sister had that camera. It was so weird. And it didn't make... The thing is, I don't think it did sound. So I think the movie cheated there and had
absolutely.
Dialogue where there was none. Because I don't think that camera recorded audio.
No. It was a fun little idea that it would have annoyed the crap out of somebody. Because somebody has... You're just trying to go to a party and see people, and somebody comes in and says, hey, I've got an art project, and I've just recruited everybody here. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I was hoping that's what we were about to do.
Yeah. But I don't know. The movie on the whole just kind of shows if you want something bad, you know, you want a career as a director bad enough, make a slightly innovative student film.
Dude. Yeah, I mean, being his first outing for this size budget, freaking...
It's pretty good.
Bravo. More than slightly. It's innovative. It's a very clever concept. Execution, you know, isn't 100% on point, but it's a very clever concept.
Yeah, and like I say, in the right hands, and they might even be his hands again, this is a cool thing, or much cooler than it is.
No, I do not want any more of this. I don't want to hear anybody else, street people pontificating. I get enough of that on social media. I don't need that.
Yeah, but watch, if you watch Dazed and Confused again, that's the movie. It's just better.
Oh, Dazed and Confused is a good movie, but it's a bunch of voices instead of in one singular.
Well, that's true. They all come together and it's more of a movie. You're right. It's not a gimmick of we're walking through the street and these are all the people's reactions in the street. And you're totally right about that. But
I made notes about how I felt as I was watching it. And like my first big reaction about 10 minutes into the film was that thing. And I think Ibbot had this too. Like, who made me watch this? Like who can I blame?
Who did this shit?
and it's amazing how as it went, I kept returning to that in smaller ways. Like I was my sort of like pushback on don't make me watch any more of it became okay, but maybe the next scene will be better. You know, like it became I didn't end up liking the movie. I just I got used to it at some point.
Yeah.
I guess boiling in water. But I think this is recommended by people over the years, right? So I mean,
this is considered like a gigantic film for a lot of people. Kevin Smith, like I said, it's his sole inspiration. He doesn't have a career without it.
It's an important movie. How about that?
I certainly am glad I saw it. I don't need to see it again, but I like seeing the thing that influenced some of my favorite directors to do the things that they do. And like the thing that you know, was enough to say, this is what made me want to make Pulp Fiction. This is what made me want to make Clerks, you know?
Sure.
I'm so proud of us that we haven't been talking about Clerks nonstop for this far.
I know.
Maybe we'll sack it someday, but it doesn't, like, this movie made me think about Clerks, but it didn't make me want to like watch Clerks.
Yeah. You know, like, I will only ever watch Clerks again for Film Sack, because I know this is going to be sacrosanct. Someone's going to be mad at me for saying that, but I think Clerks is another important movie. And once you see it though, you're pretty good. You don't really need to.
I like to run Clerks in the background. It's like having some friends hanging out at the house. I don't know if I'll watch Clerks with complete attention anytime soon again, unless I'm exposing somebody who's never seen it. That might would get my interest again, but otherwise it's just turning on some old friends in the background for me.
Yeah.
Well, in Clerks, Kevin Smith fixes all of the slacker problems.
Right.
Right. I'm going to have a small cast, a consistent cast. I'm not going to jump out of that cast too much. There's a little bit, but not a lot. They're going to be way more vulgar, like so much more vulgar than slacker. And I mean, that's a decision. It's a creative decision, but it works because the biggest fix is it's going to be funny. Slackers is a lot of humor. And so the vulgarity goes along with that. It's great. Like, it's so much better than Slacker because it feels like it fixes Slacker, you know?
Yeah, Slacker in a way is the humorlessness of Slacker is its biggest weakness. I really wish it was more.
And it's supposed to be humorous, right?
It's supposed to. Yeah, it just didn't work. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Was there a part that made anyone laugh that where you're supposed to laugh and not?
Well, Butthole Surfer Girls.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah. That's pretty much the height of all the comedy.
Yeah, but is it funny? Is it more like just uncomfortable? And
It's funny when she, you know, goes on about and then says, want to buy it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give her that.
Going on about how excited she is that she got it, and now she's trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
That was the comedy for me, is everybody so far had been like bucking the system of capitalism, and she comes in and she sounds like a slacker too. Turns out she's just a hustler. She's hustling. She's capitalist right there.
Yeah, she's kind of the opposite. A weird way. She was like a, I don't know.
We had a hustler right here in the middle of our slacker movie.
Exactly. And they used her for the cover. I'm sure that wasn't planned until she just stood out. Sure. Right? She just stood out as a, I don't know what you call it.
The scene in the Continental Club where the guy Whammo is kicking everybody out. Tell him to go home.
It was those moments. I don't know. I still have a hard time trying to decide what I thought of this. I don't have a good way to describe it. It's just like there are things I watch in it and go, that's awesome. What a weird idea. I love the transition. I love that guy going to the restaurant and having all those weird people say dumb shit to him. Like, I kind of liked all that. But then the next
Quackenbush Cafe is the name of that restaurant. Right.
But when that girl goes, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. And the other girl goes, it's all right. Time doesn't even exist. Like, shut up, dude. Shut up. Like, I know we all talk like a lot of, I shouldn't say we all, I don't want to speak for other people, but we all thought we had everything figured out at that age. And I get it.
Yes, exactly.
But were we that insufferable? Because, geez.
Yes. Absolutely.
Were we? Were you? What'd you say? What were you like, Brian? Come on, lay it on us, Dunaway. What kind of
I've always been an observer first. I always go in and listen to everybody else before I speak. And sometimes that scares the shit out of people because I'll be, you know, I listen to everything everybody says, and then when everybody finally shuts up, I go, my turn. And then I know everybody and everything because I've heard all your things. You've bled everything right there on the floor, and I just throw it back at you. So that's insufferable, right?
It's a different kind, but sure.
When you were 24, were you like busy drawing on paper?
It was a very good year. Right. I mean, I was drawing a lot at 24, and I think I thought I also knew a lot about things I didn't know about.
Yeah.
And I kind of, this movie made me mad at my younger self a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe that's
that could be. Yeah.
Maybe that's
I knew that I couldn't be the cartoonist that I wanted to be until I got older, especially in my writing, because I knew I hadn't lived long enough, because I'd seen enough 14-year-olds come out with love songs. And I'm like, oh, shut up. Yeah. You don't know shit.
And they all sound like the Meg Ryan poem from Joe versus the Volcano.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's a perfect way of saying that. That's exactly right.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's again, I admire the effort. He's in that generation. He's like 20 something here, barely.
Yeah.
And he's making this thing and he's got a giant career now. I mean, I can't fault the guy, but I can sure say his movie doesn't hold up. You know,
I was 23 when I moved to Austin, and like for the next couple of years, I remember these things. Like, I remember friends coming and picking me up, and then we would just drive around Austin and talk. And like, gas was below $2 a gallon at the time, and so like,
you could afford to talk.
Yeah, it was just, and we would just drive around, and we would just look at the city, and we would talk about like politics and global events and stuff. And I can't help wondering if that was insufferable. Like, if I put Scott in that car and made him listen, would he be just like, absolutely?
But not at 20, I wouldn't have been. I would have been like, yeah, man, totally. Like,
that's the only time it's insufferable. If you put somebody in the situation of that, like you and your friends hanging out talking about that stuff, that's like almost like a dance, right? You all are in kind of similar situations, and you get to talk about things that are all important to you, and it seems totally unique. But if you're coming in from the outside, it's insufferable. Just like us watching this movie.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
please. No, I'm all for like sitting there and philosophizing about Smurfs and the way Smurfs work. Like, I actually think that sounds like a really fun conversation to have with a friend, but I don't want to hear anyone else do it, you know?
Yeah.
You especially identify with the person who's being talked to.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a good way of
putting
it.
Like, in all these scenes where there's somebody just going off, you're the other guy, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. I don't know. Like, this movie made me go, man, it'd be cool to make a movie like this. And then it made me go, yeah, but this would just, you'd never want to see this again. Like, do you think Linklater's at home going, please don't make me watch that freaking thing?
I think he has a healthy understanding of it. I think he realizes.
He probably does. So. I mean, I don't know.
He knows. But. I mean, it's his roots. It's, he knows the,
I guess, that's true. And he's dude's an Academy Award winning filmmaker.
Yeah. Right.
He's not just some schmoo who made a student film.
He's a schmoo.
I don't know why the word schmoo happened.
Is the schmoo, isn't that the ghost thing from some Hanna-Barbera cartoon?
It was, the schmoo was in the Herculoids, wasn't it? Herculoids. Or was it?
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
There was a schmoo in the Herculoids?
Yeah, like a ghost looking thing.
It was a little
thing,
white, it looked like. Exactly.
He's a ghost with a mustache. You've seen him.
Oh, he had a mustache?
I don't remember
If I remember the schmoo correctly, he was a ghost with like a little pencil thin mustache. Is that right?
I just remember him being like a blob, like a little white blob. A little scruffy.
Yeah.
Scruffy
good. I didn't just add this. I didn't just add the smoo to the smoo. It was
You know what? It's okay. Different from the, because there were things that looked like this in the Herculoids, but looks like it might have even come from
Al Cap.
Did you guys say smoo or schmoo?
Schmoo, S-H-M-O-O.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's got like that. Horn mustache.
Yeah, he's got it's like Homer, the sides of like Homer's head type mustache.
First mustache you ever grew kind of thing.
Oh my gosh, I forgot all about this character.
The immediately familiar. Bleep were the little white things from the Herculoids that looked like this without the mustache.
That's right.
Herculoids, what a piece of shit.
With the giant rock dude.
No, I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I loved it.
Insufferable to our listeners pulling up all this weird ass.
No, they need to go watch Herculoids. It's great. It's great bad.
No, because we could be, if we were walking down the streets of Austin, we could be saying, man, remember the Herculoids? There was that big rock dude and a triceratops looking thing and a couple of little goobers.
I think the triceratops represented my penis.
Yeah, that's right.
And the rock dude was the patriarchy. It really was the job of the space ghost to bring down the patriarchy.
Oh my gosh, this is
exactly
right.
I really wanted
to
do that one cartoon girl.
So it's just Smurfs because it was Smurfs. It could have been anything. They could have been talking about He-Man or freaking, something from today. Randy, you lived there, so can you say that I'm correct in assuming that every shot where people looked really sweaty and hot was accurate in July and August or whatever?
For sure, absolutely. I wrote down and I made a commitment to myself that I'm not going to spend much time in this episode talking about Austin. Like, it's changed. It was a trip like it was a trip to see this and go, oh wow, look, there's all these, you know, things that are, don't exist anymore, or like it's all tall buildings, but that's, I think that's a little bit boring. Yes, it is the hottest place on earth in the summer. I'm shocked that they filmed this in August and September. Like, I don't know why they did that.
I just want to thank Randy for using my people's language by calling it was a trip. I appreciate.
Oh yeah, it's a trip.
Language of my people.
It's a trip, man. I think we all. It feels like we all
far out, man.
I think it's the only carryover from that kind of, you know, where people would say. So we got cool.
Cool is yeah. I mean, that one just never will die.
That just keeps hopping.
Never not cool to say cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little 4-year-old in my life who says everything is cool all the time. Cool. He's constantly saying cool. It's like, that's cool. Pops.
I would like to bring back It's a Gas.
Oh, let's not.
Wow. Okay.
Unless you smell something funny in the house and then you say, it's a gas.
Right. It's a gas. Everybody out.
Get what out.
Quick. Wizard. Oh, wizard.
It's a wizard. Wait, what's that from? Who says
episode
wizard?
One? Star Wars episode one.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, shit. I blocked that out.
Yeah. It's a good thing you did. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. There's another Jake kid. What's his name saying?
Jake Lloyd.
Jake Lloyd said that.
Oh, yep, during pod races.
It's no fetch, but I guess it'll do.
Yeah. I think I'd take fetch over that.
To answer your question, Scott, like it made me jealous. I was jealous of anybody who got to live in that place at that time. So I guess the city of Austin is a character, but it's not. It's not really built up like a character. You know,
it looked like L.A. And I was for a while there thinking, did they just film this in L.A. and say it was Austin? Because they picked the worst places. Like it was such a shitty neighborhood and the cement was all bunged up. And that guy that was out in his robe stepping up over the curbs and stuff. I was just like, this looks like a place I don't want to go with these people. Clearly not the Austin you know and love, right?
Exactly. Yeah. This is all over. Like they filmed, I feel like this was guerrilla style filming where they're just like, we're trying to, like, there was a shot where you could see the boom mic. Like there, it's just like, where can we be kind of unencumbered by the rest of the city constantly driving by or honking or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they're just around the campus of the University of Texas. Lots of shots of the UT tower in the background. Like that's supposed to give you feelings because that's the tower that Charles Whitman stood on and killed people.
Yeah.
And like, it's just, it's not, the city isn't presented in a way that makes it a character. It's just like, it's, you know, like, it is a character, but it's not got a lot of character. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Part of it was dictated by his resources, right? Because they didn't get any licensing for shooting anywhere around the city. So it was just a constant, let's just sit up here and what we got is what we got. Let's film it.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. One take. Yeah, I know you're not an actor. It doesn't matter. We kind of don't want actors. Like it sure felt like they didn't want actors.
Yeah, right. No, you're too good.
Yeah.
I'll bet you every single person who appears in this movie got an agent. I'll bet you every one of them wanted to be an actor.
Well,
you
know? Maybe, but none of them went on to. Go look at that IMDb listing. Nobody did shit.
Yeah, there is. And a lot of people just use their 5 seconds from the film as their IMDb photo. The ones that actually have IMDb photos.
And you know what? Exactly what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a great, like a YouTube, like a maybe a 20th anniversary celebration where they bring all the people up on stage in 3 groups to talk about who they were in the film, how they got picked. And a lot of them is like, yeah, I just happened to be working that day at the coffee shop. And Richard came in and said, hey, do you want to be in a film? And gave you me a set of lines. Yeah. But it's funny how a lot of people introduce themselves as the name that they're credited with in the film. Like, Richard Linklater even comes on stage and says, yep, I'm Richard Linklater. I wrote and directed the film, and I also played Guy Should Have Stayed at the Bus Station.
That's great. I don't know, man. I'm not going to say this is the most conflicted I've been about a Film Sack movie, because I'm sure there's been others. I know Dunaway and I, with our whole Minority Report thing, that's pretty conflicted. But this one really left me going, innovative, genius, terrible, garbage, ugly, lovely. Like I was all over the map with it.
Yeah. And
I think I'm okay with it. I've come to Jesus with it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Jesus and I are getting along just fine.
Jesus.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What do you guys, what do you say to some clips from the film?
I can't wait to hear what you did for clips.
Yeah.
You already made me watch the movie.
Ibbit sent me a message, says, it's going to be tricky to get clips for. And I thought, oh boy, this will be fun. And it turned out to be mostly true. The first hour, not bad. Pretty good pickings. Second hour, terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
So I'll play what I got and then you guys can decide.
There's no punchy dialogue. It's all long-winded conversation.
Yeah.
One way conversation.
It's like letting your grandpa have full reign of the living room on Thanksgiving. Just shut up.
Yeah. Get out of here, grandpa.
Get out of here, old man. Quiet, old man. All right. Here's the should have stayed at the oh no, we already did that. Wait, did I? Well, here it
is. Yes.
Shit, I should have stayed at the bus station.
Oh yeah, we already did that. Okay. Here's the he says this word wrong. Maybe it's all the porn in his life. I don't know, but here it is.
Complete amnesiac, you know?
Amnesiac. Stop it.
Amnesiac.
Stop it. Just stop. Too much porn. Go in the real world and don't say amnesiac ever again. I hate it. Here is something about being on. Oh, that's that guy again. Moon on. We've been on the moon since the 50s.
We've been on the moon since the 50s.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds great, dude. How about weird laser mouth sounds from him? Yeah.
I hated that guy.
I did too. Yeah. He's up there. Top three worst for me. Ugh, they're all bad, though. Here's an Uncle Fester reference.
It's Uncle Fester.
She's noticed in that little
card. Oh, yeah, looking at the postcards. Yeah. Oh,
that's another
dick
weird
that
one.
We never even see in the film is the guy who just leaves his apartment and just leaves a stack of postcards with a little story about it.
That made me want to die.
Checking the bucket, right? Did we find out Gary?
No, nothing. That's total. Everybody in this movie is a chick in the bucket, dude.
Yes,
everyone.
It could be called Chick in the Bucket the movie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, that's not a.
It's a full family combo meal KFC bucket of chicken in the buckets. They're just
and that's actually where I think we have our biggest problem is that in parts where it was scripted, Richard Linklater made those postcards. He sat and wrote out and typed out and glued things to postcards for the actors to read.
Yeah.
And that, it's not interesting. Yeah. That could have been really interesting.
It could have been. Yeah. Just annoyed me. Ugh. Here's more of that.
Last summer, he thought about sticking his index finger in a fan.
Well, don't do that.
Yeah. Do it.
Seems dangerous. She was very sweaty, that girl.
Oh, was she the one like gets on the bike with her friend and her pits are totally like she's totally pitted out?
I think that's her.
Pitted out. That was
people were all pitted out all the time, man.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah.
Hot.
It's hot in Austin. Everyone looked like they had kind of had enough. Maybe weren't getting paid a lot, you know, that kind of thing. Because if this thing was only $20,000, all that money probably went to paying people and film, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I had to guess.
Many more of these, and the SAG would have to strike again, right?
Yep, that's right. pull out your butthole and get ready to surf, because here's this bit right here.
It's a Madonna pap smear.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. Here's this other guy. He reminded me of Back to the Future, the guy that was running for mayor, Willie, or I can't remember his name, but he was so into it. There he is.
Surgical strike capability of the oppressed.
Thanks.
Keep on keeping on.
That guy. Remember him? Mm-hmm. You want to buy a t-shirt for me? No? Okay, anyway, I'll just keep talking about bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
What's this? You should I quit. I think I put an I in here by accident. It's a new... That's when you give up the Apple ecosystem. You I quit. Anyway, here it is. Let's see what we got here.
You should quit. You should quit.
You should quit. You should quit.
Get her out of there.
Short quit. You quit. Should quit.
Get her you out of that quit. Restaurant. Who is like, she? The, was, is she the owner's kid?
All of her post-it notes and.
And then everything about that place. She's rambling. Guy says, "Better keep knock it off or whatever." He wasn't doing anything.
Stop following me. Yeah.
He didn't do anything. And the stop fall. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
They should have ended the movie there. All right. Here's that lady again.
You should quit traumatizing women with sexual intercourse.
All right. Well, if it's consensual, then I don't know.
Get right on that. You should, but.
Here's all that.
I'm a medical doctor.
Yeah, we already heard that one.
She is the best source of clips ever, though, isn't she?
Yeah. Notice I own
a yacht and a G6.
You notice I spent a good 4 clips on her. So, yes, you are correct. She is the only good clip source. Here's another one. What's this? She looks like, I don't know what this is.
Look at Freud.
Yeah, let's look at Freud.
That's the girl. That's the girl I like. She was the only likable person. Everybody else sucked. And then that thing about the Smurfs.
The Smurfs, you know, and then they've got their little colony group together where everybody hangs, you know, in that one little group and everybody's right together. Everything flows real well. But anytime any one of them tries to take off and do their own little individual trip, that's when Mr. Evil comes down off.
Yeah, that's enough. I don't want to hear that guy anymore. Horrible. Horrible. Right.
It is interesting to me how different there is. Like, there's two concepts. There's high thoughts, right? You get high and you have deep thoughts.
Yeah.
Right. This movie is not about that. These people are totally sober. This entire movie. Yeah. Every one of them is stone sober. They're having some other thing, like conspiracy theory. Something.
They had a bunch of beers around, but I don't know if that meant they were drunk or not. Can't tell. The Smurf people. They were like
the Smurf people.
Smurf people. Well, that does it for clips. Now this. It's time for the film sack checklist. No one you know? Check. Everyone says stupid stuff when they would probably be embarrassed by it later in life? Check. And finally, everyone was all sweaty and pitting out? Check. Star Trek connections. I have to imagine there are zero here unless Linklater did something in Star Wars or Star Trek.
Also, you're almost right. We found one. This is a barely in anything character actor named Charles Gunning. He has been in a couple of like Linklater things as a character. Yeah. And he was in an episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Whoa.
So Charles, in this movie, if it helps, he was the hitchhiker awaiting the true call. Oh, no idea if that helps.
Oh,
the hitchhiker. I mean, there was only one hitchhiker,
guy
right?
Who jumped in the car. Yeah. Wait, no, it's true calls. Wait,
that's right. Okay. Yeah. The call part.
Yeah, your mom's new boyfriend is who I thought he came.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's Charles Gunning. He was in the season 5 episode, The Perfect Mate, which stars Famke Janssen and Max Rodenchick. And he's
had
like
potential.
Yeah. He was a guy. He was just an extra, but he was in it and that's a connection.
Yeah. And he hasn't done much else that I'm aware of. Right. I mean, other than what you've said, it's pretty low. Nobody here has a big extensive IMDb except for Linklater. I feel like his link came later. On that note, let's take a look at the soundtrack grade. I'd give it a W for what soundtrack. There really wasn't any.
Right.
That's a thing at the end. That was just weird. And I think there was maybe some at the beginning with the serial killer guy in the house. I can't remember. But no theme. No, you know.
Mm-hmm. No.
Which is fine. It's
too bad. If they'd gone around and paid bands around Austin like $1,000 to have a bit of their song in the movie, I'll bet they would have gotten all kinds of really interesting music.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. I was just surprised that they had none, really. All right. Excuse me. Let's get down to business here with the social media post. This is where you guys sum shit up in like, I don't know, 280 characters or so. And then you post it on social media, like Friendster, whatever. So let's start with Randy Jordan this time.
Slacker. You can't send a girl in a package because she isn't male. If you try to lose, but you end up winning, then you actually failed. Mm. A gingerbread man is made of house, and his house is made of him. If you were a tree, we'd call your legs trunks, but instead we call them limbs. If icebergs hit ships a lot more often, we'd give them a lot more fame. If you just always stay in your living room, you'll never die because of the name.
Oh, wow. That was deep, dude. Mm-hmm. You know,
I feel like I was watching a movie again.
I know. We're in a coffee shop.
Were those
shop.
On the back of postcards? Which one of them had Uncle Fester on it?
Yeah, that was a good one.
I just made it all up.
Yeah, it was good.
Very good. Right in my head. Right
that guy,
now.
That guy at the, by the way, that was robbing the house or trying to when the old man came home. He reminded me of a mix of this older, muscly Skarsgård, vampire Skarsgård guy mixed with like the dude who's shirtless and in his underwear all the time in Notting Hill. Do you get who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
It was like a weird combo. And at first I was like, do we know him? Is this the other actor that maybe went on? No, it's just he did shit other than this.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. Really threw me, though. Let's see. Brian Dunaway, I believe it's your turn.
Oh, it is indeed. Oh, hi. Slacker, like some collectible Madonna pap smear memorabilia from the 90s, is one pubic hair short of a sale. All right. I'm a head out. SpongeBob meme attached.
Nice. That's how the Z's do it.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Finally, Brian Ebbett.
I couldn't decide. I wrote three this week.
Wow.
Shit.
Well, now we'll, one?
Let us judge
if you
them.
Like any of them, you can have them.
Right.
Slacker, 97 minutes of Keep Austin Weird.
All right. Good. Number one.
Slacker, good. I feel like I'm aging like the kid in Boyhood during this movie.
That's
and
good.
Slacker, say what you want about the bad acting in this film.
Okay.
Yep.
<that's> That was great.
Say no more.
I love it when the joke is ends in the middle.
Yeah.
You know what? I get why you couldn't choose. Those are all excellent.
I know.
Fantastic.
With all of them.
Those are all good. Let's find out if these alternate titles, once thought to be just the property of the producers and directors, is also good or not. Where the hell is it? There it is. I couldn't find it. I was trying to eat up time. Here's what we thought of those titles. One was called, I Don't Know, I'm a Medical Doctor. And finally, Madonna's pap smear. That would have been a bad idea.
Yep.
Don't do that.
I want to give you one little fun bit of trivia that... It
really
has nothing to do with the movie.
This
is actually this has to do with Brian Ibbett's social media post.
Oh,
Keep Austin Weird was invented in 2000 when a local beloved librarian called into a local beloved AM radio station and said, "Keep Austin Weird," and then suddenly.
Really? Why did I think that was so much older? You know, because I associate it with that picture, the high there alien thing. I always think of that when I think of Keep Austin Weird, and that's much older.
Yeah, a lot older,
I was living in North Austin when that happened, and like overnight, everybody had it on a t-shirt.
Mm. Well, now Austin's getting real weird because everyone's moving there.
Yeah.
Everybody moving to Austin, bringing the weird with them.
Yeah, that's it kind of became San Jose about 10 years ago.
Yeah. Still kind of going.
Which is fine, by the way. I think that's fine.
Isn't that where we heard Samwise is retiring from Blizzard after 32 years and is, I think he's moving down there. I think.
Oh, he already lives in Dallas.
Oh, is he already remote?
Yeah, he moved to Dallas some time ago.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Great guy. I love you, Sammy.
Yeah. It was a sad, not sad
Thanks
news.
For listening.
Just bittersweet news about that because, you know, I don't know. That dude's a legend. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to emails. None. Let's do a voicemail. Is what I wanted to do. Okay. We're going to play this voicemail. It's about the word Nimrod, which we use on the show sometimes.
Ooh, hey. Okay.
And this guy wanted to make some clarifications about the word Nimrod. Here you go.
This is Arctic Nerd. I was just noticing that you called somebody Nimrod, and I wanted to give you a little bit of background on that. Nimrod is a biblical figure who's like the great grandson of Noah. He was a great king in the land of Shinar. He was a mighty hunter. So anyways, there was a Bugs Bunny cartoon where Bugs Bunny calls Elmer Fudd Nimrod. And apparently nobody knew who that was. And so that became an insult. But Nimrod was actually a character from the Bible who was supposed to be a mighty hunter. So nobody really got the joke. Hope you play this. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
Now, there's two reasons I played it. One, I like the reference. I like you pulling an old episode thing we talked about, bringing some clarity. That's always good. Number one in my book. Number two in my book is you sound like the movie Slacker. You sound like someone sitting at a table talking about shit in a way that reminded me of this movie. So I thought it would be Perfect for today's show.
Oh, that's love great. Yeah.
Plus, I didn't know that. I've been brainwashed by Bugs Bunny into using that word myself. Is
I mean, I knew Nimrod was a biblical term or a character, but I didn't know. I didn't know about the Bugs Bunny turning it into an insult or changing the meaning of it. I had no idea.
I know about it from the insult, but also there's a Marvel robot. I think he was a Sentinel, giant glowy red Sentinel that.
His name was Nimrod.
I remember that.
His name was Nimrod. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a horrible name.
It really is. Exactly. I'm going to call my robot Nimrod.
It just sounds like a dumb guy, which is how I use it. But no offense to the mighty warrior.
Is that how you use your Nimrod? I heard that about you.
That's how you use your Numrod. Anyway.
Yeah.
Nimrod, live on forever. And if you want to leave a voicemail like that, you can be just like that dude and call us 801-471-0462. That number also works for texts, and you can email us at filmsack@gmail.com. I would like to welcome some brand new folks to our Patreon this week, Ben Bowling and Bill Rudder. Bill Rudder, keeping us straight on the straight path, I guess, with his rudder. Anyway, you guys are awesome, and if you want to be like them, do go to patreon.com/filmsack. Sign up today. Get no commercials ever. Pre-show content every week. You're going to get host specials every month. I'm putting one together this month all about perfect films. And no, I'm not going to spend the whole time talking about Fury Road. All right.
You are going to talk about it.
It's on my list, so I have to mention it. But I promise not to go on and on about it. But I think there is a literal handful, maybe 10 films I consider to be perfect. And I can't wait to hear what people think. I'm also going to try to define what that even means.
I can't wait to chat on them.
Yeah, you can chat all over them if you want. Mm-hmm. But I think it's hard to define, and that's the fun of this, is I want to hear people's feedback on how they define a perfect film, because I'm sure we're all going to be different. Anyway, that's the thing you only get as a patron, and you get it no other way. So get that going. You also get art in the mail. It's movie-related, all that sort of fun stuff. So check it out, patreon.com/filmsack. Next week, we are doing Swiss Army Man.
What? Mm. Wow, we're going from weird
that's
to
not really
weirder.
A thing, is it?
Yep, Swiss Army Man.
Yeah, that's Harry Potter.
It's the guy who directed, or the pair that directed Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Daniel Scheinert and Daniel Kwan.
Yep.
Interesting. All right, cool.
Paul Dano, Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah, look at Paul Dano.
Is this one where Harry Potter is dead the whole time?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's, except useful.
That's not it's not a spoiler, right? Like he's
no. I think the trailer. Awesome.
That's
was
like
pretty
in
clear
the trailer
it.
Or the fragment, the freaking cover art too.
Oh man, you had me at Paul Dano and Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah, dude.
Fan of both of those two.
Like everybody involved.
We've had a lot of requests for this. It's apparently gotten a cult following. Like even though it's only 7 years old.
Yeah.
So let's go.
Yeah. Now we got these Oscar winning directors here, so we should enjoy ourselves. That's next week, and that's currently streaming where?
That's on HBO Max.
Max again, man. Jeez. Yeah.
Max.
Yeah, we're gonna break off HBO Max after this one, but we've been in two straight months of HBO Max.
Freaking Zaslav is big. As big as Zaslav is a dope and keeps cutting shit he shouldn't and all that stuff, I will give them credit for still being a place where most movies are. You just get them. It's already done away.
That's
what
HBO's
were you
thing, right? No, that's HBO's thing. The movie thing. That's what I love. Home box office.
You know? Yeah, right. They're living up to their origins, and then they cancel cool shit from John Cena, and it makes me mad. So F off, Zaslav. Yeah. All right, that is gonna do it for today's show. This week's show. Filmsack.com is our website. You'll find links to everything we talked about there. We'd love it if you'd left us some reviews. Tell your friends. Push the show around to everybody, and just show them why you love it. All right. Filmsack.com.
All right.
That's gonna do it for us. For me. For Brian, and for Randy.
I am a medical doctor.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.